A large number of Americans, probably including the president, will tell you that the biggest issue facing the country at the moment is immigration. We get a chance right now to hear from an immigrant about that. Laz Ayala escaped from El Salvador in the trunk of a car nearly 40 years ago, came into the United States and stayed without permission. Now he's a naturalized citizen and a builder and philanthropist in the Rogue Valley. Laz Ayala is also the creator of something called Illegal the Project. Its introductory materials say the project seeks to give voice to the voiceless. Laz Ayala, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me here.
So when you look at how often immigrants are at the center of debate in this country, what do you think and feel about that?
Well, I feel attacked. I feel like my humanity and my own dignity is under attack.
So why did you leave El Salvador?
So my family and I left El Salvador fleeing from the civil war of the 80s. It was a 12-year war that, you know, killed 82,000 people and forced about 1.5 million Salvadorians to flee the country during that time.
And so that's the why and how. I mean, we heard about the car trunk story, but I mean, it must have been a bit more detailed than that because you had several other countries to go through to get to the United States.
So the why is the Civil War. The how was a 3,000-mile journey by bus and train and many hours across the cold desert in December of 1981 to eventually cross the border stuffed in the trunk of a car with my father and my older brother and another refugee fleeing from El Salvador.
Wow, that was a very crowded trunk in that car.
It was a little stuffy in there, and a little uncomfortable, to say the least.
And was it worth it? I mean, or let me put it this way: at what point in your life did you feel that it was worth it? Immediately, or did it take a few years before that all settled in?
I knew the moment that we left that it was not a matter of choice for us. I was old enough to be picked up by the military. I was 14 years old, or to join the revolution and fight on one side or the other. And so it wasn't a choice. It was a matter of life or death for us. And so I knew that it was worth leaving. It was painful. Of course, it involved survival. So yes, it was worth it. It was worth every bit of the risk and that we took. We were really fleeing for our lives.
How did you get your U.S. citizenship?
So in 1987, so happened to be the year that I married a U.S. citizen, and it also happened to be the same year that President Reagan at the time passed a law allowing Salvadorian refugees to obtain political asylum. But I got my legal residency through my my wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but you're a citizen, full citizen now, naturalized?
3 years after that, mm-hmm. I got my U.S. citizenship and became a U.S. citizen in 1990.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been a U.S. citizen for a long time now. What led to the creation of Illegal the Project, and what is it, I guess, is the larger question.
Yes. So what led me to get involved in the conversation at all? Because as you know, you've lived here in the Valley for about as long as I have. In the 30 years that I've lived here in Southern Oregon, I have focused my attention and my time on my business, my family, and the community, but not really getting involved or engaged in political issues. So for me, the decision to get involved with this topic took, in fact, about 5 years of thought and consideration. And the consideration for me was, you know, whether or not I wanted to throw myself out there and be a target, or, you know, have to perhaps face any potential retaliation. And so it was not an easy decision for me to make. But I guess the question is the why. After many years of hearing the rhetoric that we hear today, the negative rhetoric towards immigrants, I felt like my own dignity, my own humanity was under attack. And of course, that of others. I felt like there was a need for engagement from those of us that can tell our story firsthand. And I felt like my story was being defined by others. And it angered me, it frustrated me, to be honest. And I reached a point where I felt like my story could have make a contribution to, in this conversation, and hopefully direct it in a positive way, humanize the conversation. And so I started writing some op-eds to the Tribune, and then later, when I decided that I was willing to get involved, I was asked to speak at some Rotary clubs around the Valley. I'm a Rotarian, and so that opened up some doors. And I shared my story at those clubs, and the story was so well received in those presentations that I felt a confirmation that I was on the right path by sharing, by talking about my story, by giving voice to those that cannot, that don't have a voice, and by also I felt empowered by sharing with others and seeing the reception that I got from them. And then I wanted to do something more. I wanted to tell my story, share my story, maybe inspire others to come out and share their story. There's just this gap in this conversation where our story as immigrants has been defined by others and not the way that we would define our story. And so my goal is to, is to educate the public, is to create awareness, is to inspire others to come out with their stories, to engage, because there's a need for engagement from the immigrant community in the conversation, and to hopefully move the general public to action, to demand common sense legislation so we can put this issue to rest, hopefully.
Laz Ayala, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a Rogue Valley builder and philanthropist, and now a creator of Illegal the Project. He himself got out of El Salvador about 40 years ago and has moved to the United States. He's now a naturalized citizen. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Questions, comments, thoughts, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Laz, your focus seems to be less on the people who cross the border than the employers who invite them to cross the border. Can you delve into that a bit?
Well, that is one of the misconceived ideas about the issue. The conversation or the narrative that we hear is that we have an illegal immigration problem. What I say we have is an illegal employment problem, and it's an illegal employment problem that has been, permitted, allowed, enabled by our own system of laws that basically have historically left the door open for undocumented workers to cross the border, to come here to work, to fill jobs and to do jobs that American citizens don't want to do, while having no rights and having no representation, having no benefits for the taxes that they pay, having to be persecuted, to be incarcerated, to be dehumanized, to be criminalized, and then to be blamed for, well, to be criminalized even more and in jail and incarcerated. So, yeah, I believe that the problem that we have, if there is one, is an illegal employment problem that has been enabled by our own laws.
So what kinds of changes would you like to see in the laws? What sort of legislative tweaks or overhauls do you want to see happen?
I believe that if our legislators are serious about addressing this issue, and I doubt that they are, I'm becoming a little cynical about the goals of our legislators. But if there was anything that we could do, if we wanted to address this issue, I believe there are two things that can be done. One is we need to have tough enforcement of E-Verify, a system that was created during the first term of President Obama, an electronic system that allows employers to do basically a background check to verify and confirm an employee's legal status. As you know, that system exists, but it's not But employers are not required to use it. Employers are not required to verify the legal status of any of their workers.
Right, so that's one place you tighten things up. Make sure they're using E-Verify.
And then the second, I believe, a step that needs to be taken is to expand our guest worker program to allow workers to come here legally to fill the jobs that American citizens cannot fill, and then return to their homes when their season of work is over. and live here legally that way, return to their communities, the native communities, take their hard-earned dollars, reinvest those dollars in their communities, and hopefully create economic sustainability in their communities, reunite with their families, keep their families together in that social structure.
So this addresses the people who are coming here to work, but what about the people in the circumstances in which you fled El Salvador, the people who take part in the so-called caravans that approach the Mexican-U.S. border, who are getting away from a horrible situation in their own countries? What kinds of provisions would you like to see made in the law for them, or if any?
That's a great question. Again, most people that come to this country, I believe, and even today, come here for economic opportunity. I can't say that there aren't some that are fleeing persecution or danger. You know, there are no civil wars going on today in Central America. So I know that's not the reason. And I go down to El Salvador very frequently. So I know there's danger, but I believe the primary reason people come here is for economic opportunity. So what happens to those that are at the border that are continuing to come? I believe that those individuals could benefit by an expanded guest worker program that gives them the opportunity to work, fill jobs that we, most Americans, recognize that need to be filled and need to be filled by foreign workers. And then we give them that opportunity to return to their homes and reunite with their families. Again, not many people, myself included, want to leave their home life, their families, the culture, the language that they know. Nobody wants to do that, not by choice. Few do. And if given the opportunity, I can say that those people that are at the border would be thrilled to be able to work here, return to their homes, and then come back the following year for a season and so on.
Laz Ayala, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. El Salvadoran born, escaped from the country about 40 years ago and came into the United States without papers. He is now a naturalized citizen and talking about what he went through and what other people go through in something called Illegal the Project, which has a companion film going on. In fact, there are cameras in here right now. You can join our conversation on the Exchange about immigration, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Were you happy not to talk about your own personal story until it got to this level of argument in the immigration debate?
That is correct. This really was not an issue up until about 10 years ago. I mean, I had lived here for 30 years, never felt the need to get engaged in the conversation until about 10 years ago when it was so politicized and, of course, lately has been taken to another level. I mean, this issue, in my opinion, has evolved from an issue or topic of undocumented immigration to a topic of race, of division, and that's another reason why I'm involved in this is because I feel a strong sense of responsibility to get involved, to participate in positive conversation. I love this community. I love this country. I've called this community and this country home, and I'm proud of that, and I'm grateful for all the opportunities that I have received. And so I feel a strong sense of responsibility to get involved, to, shed some light on the myths and maybe the facts involved in this conversation.
Grab the headphones in front of you because I'm going to take a phone call here. Let us welcome to the Exchange, Derek in Talent. Thanks for joining us with Laz Ayala.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I guess I just want to say thanks to Laz for his work on this and also just appreciate how easy it would be to keep quiet for a person who was sort of in Laz's shoes. And so I guess that's an appreciation for speaking out. Working on the job site, I've encountered some of the most racist and bigoted opinions. And so that's not lost on me either. And I guess I want to say I support the concept of a worker program as long as it's equitable and just, unlike some of the abuses of the Bracero program. And I hope that comment hasn't been mentioned thus far because it's important to remember that we want equity and justice for any workers coming here to work. and I'll take my response off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call, Derek. Appreciate that. So how do we keep programs that do allow workers to cross the border from exploiting the workers, or from the workers being exploited under those programs?
So I believe that before I address that question, it's important to keep in perspective where we are today. And so where we are today on this issue is this. We have a population of roughly 11 million people living in this country today that are exploited, that are they have no rights, they have no voice, they have no representation, are criminalized, are dehumanized, are incarcerated, them and their children. Their families are broken up here and abroad. They are taxed without representation. I equate this to modern-day slavery. And if this, what I just said, isn't a definition of modern-day slavery, then I don't know what is. And so I believe, having said what I just said about the current condition, a bracero program that gives men and women that want to come here to work legally, that gives them certain basic rights that a worker does not have today, that gives them the ability to return to their home and reunite with their families, to take their hard-earned dollars and invest them in their communities, is a much better program than what we have today.
You had mentioned modern-day slavery just now, which was actually the title of an op-ed piece you published in the Mail Tribune in Medford back on January 27th. And when you said the flow of immigrants is picture perfect for political hysteria, both Republicans and Democrats want an issue, not a solution. How do you see it that way? You see both sides making hay out of this.
I do. I have to say I have become a bit cynical over the last 5 years about our political system. I believe that both parties have exploited this topic and continue to exploit it for political gain. I believe that if we want change is going to have to come from the ground up. It's going to have to come from us, the public. The public is going to have to demand real change and real solutions. I have lost faith that our politicians on their own will provide real solutions.
We have a couple more minutes here with Laz Ayala, who is an immigrant from El Salvador, now a naturalized U.S. citizen. He is starting up something called Illegal the Project to let people know about the situation with immigration coming across the border, why people choose to come across as quote-unquote illegal immigrants. You can join the conversation on The Exchange by phone, 800-838-3760. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Bob in Jacksonville. Welcome to The Exchange with Laz.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think one of the issues I'd like to hear covered more is the gang violence in these countries, and probably most of it was caused by the American gang culture. These are people who previously were in California, got deported, took their evil ways back to Central American countries, and because the local authorities in these countries are bribable and do nothing to stabilize the countries that they're involved in. That seems to be the big impetus for many Central Americans leaving. Would it be better for both parties, including the United States, to send them help, whether it's the Marines or whatever, to get control of this horrible situation where families are threatened with murder, rape, you name it, if they don't look the other way or have their kids join these gangs? I mean, that sounds like the big reason for the immigration out of Central America.
All right, Bob, thanks for the thoughts, and let's get a response from Laz.
So, Bob, I don't want to sound dismissive about the fact that there is violence and that there is danger in many of these countries, because there is. But again, I believe that the primary reason people come here is because of for economic improvement. That said, the gang issue is a significant problem in many of these countries. And if we want to take this point one step further back. The gangs came as a result of a power vacuum that was left after the Civil War, in the case of El Salvador, of the 80s, a war that lasted 12 years and destabilized the country, left it in ruins, and there was a power vacuum. Following that war, the country's frankly still recovering from that war, a war that, by the way, the U.S. had a lot to do with. And the country's still recovering from that war. And in the years that followed the end of the conflict, families return. You know, many individuals with a criminal background return. And then they, of course, established themselves and took a certain degree of control of communities and have been gaining more and more control of that. But that was the result of that power vacuum that was left following the war.
So the gangs who were made up of deportees in the United States would not have had a chance to gain some traction without a power vacuum.
Correct.
So that given being the case, then what can the United States do to make reality better in the countries from which people flee to head for the United States?
You know, the idea of providing financial aid to these countries, it's a failed and has been proven to be a failed concept. You know, there's so much corruption that the money never reaches the intended purpose. That said, I mean, there are opportunities for foreign aid projects, you know, to take place and to help the people, the community. But I believe that the best thing that we can do for these countries is to allow for workers to come here to work a season legally, to allow them to return, take their monies, reinvest that money in those communities.
So it goes right back to the communities,
right
in
back.
The hands of the people who are doing the work.
Exactly.
And can spend it.
And it reunites those families, keeps those families together. There's an part of the gang issues in El Salvador has also a lot to do with a social destabilization from moms and dads leaving their kids behind. And as you can imagine, that can create also a vacuum in itself.
All right. Well, I very much appreciate you giving us a chance to hear an issue from somebody who actually was at one time considered an illegal immigrant. Laz Ayala is a Rogue Valley builder and philanthropist and the head of Illegal the Project, which has a companion documentary called Illegal Being Made as well. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.